Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you're taking time out of your day to join us, and have a lot of news to discuss today. In fact, that's probably all we'll have time for. I've added quite a few news articles to our companion website, which is the BeAPlannerShow.com, and if you want to follow along, you're welcome to pull it up on your cell or I guess a desktop if you have one close at hand. But in any event, a lot going on in the commercial real estate space, good, bad, and a lot in between. But it is interesting to see what different sections of the country are experiencing in different parts of even Texas. But in any event, I do want to remind you that just because you hear some tax strategies or tax issues discussed today, or perhaps we mention a real estate private partnership syndication offering that might be in play trying to raise capital, just bear in mind that you should not run and dive headfirst into the pool. Let's go check with your existing advisors, be it tax, accounting, real estate, investment advisors, etc., and let's make sure you heard what you thought you heard, that the rule was correctly stated, and more importantly, that it would make sense for you to consider that opportunity given your own specific facts and circumstances. And for those of you that might not have advisors that work in the area that we do, then obviously feel free to connect with us. And best way to do that is go to the BeAPlanner.com website. That's BeAPlanner.com. And the second link from the top right is our forms link. If you would go click for that page and at least do step one of the intake form submission, the client profile, that should give us enough to where we can have a informed discussion with you about your specific facts and circumstances, and give you some idea of how we might be able to sync up with assisting you meeting your goals and objectives. And, you know, most of the people that come to us are working on retirement wealth creation. And, you know, it seems like almost to a one of us, we're probably behind when you consider a couple factors that you may not have thought about. I know there's a lot of people I talk to that say, well, you know, I've got a couple $1 million, I'm in good shape, you know, it'll definitely support my lifestyle. And I then will ask them, well, when do you plan on passing away? Are you normal, or are you average, as the case might be? And good genes in your family? And in any event, once you explain to them that the life expectancy now, at least even the IRS's life expectancy tables, have a male living to age 85, 86 time frame, and females 87, 88. And that usually takes people by surprise, because if you just kind of do a rough pencil calculation, forget about the time value of money for a moment, that would take a spreadsheet, Just think simplistically at how much you need to live each year. Don't factor in any medical, major issues. That's going to be kind of apparent here, I think, once you get through the initial calculation, that most people couldn't afford to take a $500,000 or so dollar hit if it came to a serious medical condition that resulted in significant out-of-pocket. And I'll tell you the other big item, for that party that's got $2 million, do you have any idea how much you'll be paying your partner when you start taking money out of that? And I don't mean your significant other partner. I mean your government partner. That would be the IRS. And most people haven't given that much thought. Do you have any idea what tax rate you might be taxed at in the future? Do any of us really know? I think all we can really say is it's going to be higher. I don't think there's any doubt it's going to be higher. And, you know, as we talk about week in, week out, the tax train is heading your way, our way, and 2029 is when it most likely pulls into the station. And the tax rates will be higher for the first time in most of our lifetime, for sure our adult lifetimes. The tax rates are going to be significantly higher than they are right now. Right now, we're at the all-time low, or one of the all-time lows, if not the all-time low, and I believe it is the all-time low. It should be considered the current tax brackets or tax rates are on sale, and likely at least a 50% off type sell when you do the math, or if you listen to those that opine on the math. We'll talk a little bit later in the show. We'll go to one of my favorite websites, as listeners know, which is the usdebtclock.org, and we'll check in and see how much further we've progressed on the deficit, the borrowings. How much more have we borrowed since last week? It's pretty startling if you haven't looked at that. And in any event, let's see. I was just mentioning before I meandered over to the concept of the tax train that if you're behind, now that I've explained two big reasons you more than likely are behind, the longevity risk, which is life expectancy. Are you going to outlive your money, or will your money outlive you? Will there be a legacy benefit, perhaps, that goes to your heirs, or will, in fact, you run short in your lifetime? And, I had one of my friends mention today that maybe you don't want to live to the expected life expectancy, because that probably means you'll spend more time in some sort of old age facility, and it may not be it may not be one of your choosing, depending on what kind of retirement resources you have available. Sorry about that. I'm still struggling with a cough here. Let me get a sip of liquid here. Okay. So what are you going to do about the tax train? And that's something, again, week in, week out, we talk about Roth conversions. For those of you that have pre-tax retirement funds, now with the tax brackets on sale, at least for another year or so, now's the time to take action. And we'll try to save some time to, in a summary fashion, discuss the Roth conversion once again and relate it back to the real estate private partnership syndication arena that we work in. Most of our clients and I myself invest in those transactions as well. There's some significant benefits with regard to using retirement money if you understand how to do it. And unfortunately, most of the real estate gurus, the real estate mentors at assorted real estate platforms are not familiar, or they may be familiar, but they don't like putting anything between you and a membership fee. And unfortunately, that's that extra little bit of time it takes may cause you to stop and think, do you really need to spend the $20,000+ that it takes to join some of these platforms? And I'm not going to tell you that you should never consider it. I'll tell you there are good reasons to, but they're not the ones that you're going to hear when you go to their events. But more on that coming up. Let's look at an article or two before we take our first break. Well, the first one on my list, I clipped an article talking about San Antonio's apartment market. They're having some tougher times than they're used to as of late. The article's the first one on the list. Once you get to the black typeface there on that resources, and then one more link down, news. I've got some pinned articles in the blue typeface, and but if you go on down to the first black one, San Antonio's apartment market isn't doing great. Austin's is slightly worse, and you know, if you have been tracking those markets as we do, you know, I would tell you that the bottom hasn't fallen out. It's nothing like that, but you know, the big issue is absorption. In other words, they've got a lot of new units coming into the market, and if that, you know, isn't handled successfully, then the bottom could fall out, because there's at least, I believe San Antonio is on track for about 18,000 to 20,000 new units within the next 12 to 18 months, and I've lost track on Austin. It's significant. I believe it's more than that, and you know, there's just a significant amount of building that was already, you know, in progress once we started to experience some of the interest rate increases and mortgage inflationary issues with supply chain matters, et cetera. So they've been delayed a little bit, but they were already, you know, the cows were already out of the barn, so to speak. And, you know, it's a circular equation in a sense. And, you know, the problem is, if you lose, you snooze. And so, you know, when you look at the permit stage, that's starting to slow. And if you fast forward 3 years or so, or 4 years, there's going to be missed opportunities for those that don't have supply, or at least that's the argument. But you know, if, as one of the quotes in the article says, it's a balancing act, but if absorption is positive, occupancy will take care of itself over time. Well, that may go without saying. However, time is not your friend when you're in the middle of an inflationary period like we've had up until very recently. And I'm not so sure we've necessarily turned the corner. I mean, you can look at some people that are smarter than I noticed Jamie Dimon, the Chase Bank CEO, had an article or a speech last week, and he was saying how this reminds him of the very early stages of the debt malaise period, 2008, 2009, and 2010. And boy, there was a lot of bad news after that point in time that he's referring to. And so he's cautioning, don't get too cocky, and don't lose sight of the fact that we've still got a ways to go to get through the prospect of a soft landing when it comes to the recession. But some of the details behind the numbers, you look at the jobs numbers and you realize, or if you realize, how much of that is part-time jobs. And there's a couple other categories that kind of blurs the picture, and it's not quite the rosy numbers that the administration, the Biden administration, likes to trumpet. And I guess the other thing is, if you look back, they have revised the jobs reports now. It's like a record number of times. It's like the last 8 to 10, I believe, jobs reports got revised downward so that they weren't quite as rosy. But, you know, everybody forgets that part, right? They don't dwell on the updates. And so, anyway, well, let's do this. We've run a little bit past our first break time. Let's go ahead and take that, and we'll come back here in a few minutes with more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at NPRoss.com. Nathan at NPRoss.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Song Bobby McGee. I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and big dreams. And there are many just like me
with big dreams and big dreams.
Welcome back to more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we had just started in on our news discussions, And let's take the second article, the top 10 markets for multifamily rent growth. And it's interesting. I mean, first of all, I'm going to tell you there's probably, 10 articles in the current press this week on rental growth and where it's going to be the best. And, you know, both from the perspective of a tenant, I guess that'd be a rental decline, actually, or from the perspective of the developer. And, you know, these different systems, most of these stats are generated by some of the multifamily software developers, where they've got, you know, a lot of properties that are pushing data through their software, so they're able to look at that and you know, make their observations. But I would tell you that you know, it's interesting. Sometimes I've compared these articles, and some of the cities are on the same list. If you look at the one, well, which is going to be better for the tenant versus the developer, and I don't know exactly what the underlying data, how reliable it is, but I don't dispute that it probably exists, because it's probably being scraped out of the software. But in any event, if you look at that article that was in Multi Housing News a couple days ago, the Northeast markets are leading in rent growth on a year-over-year basis. However, there's some strength in the Midwest, which, you know, the Midwest has been strong for the last couple years in any event. But these, for the most part, I noticed New York is on that list, but for the most part, these are not the top 10 metros, or they're not even close. But this is a year-on-year rent growth rate. This isn't occupancy necessarily. This is the asking rent that's being measured, and you know, it's just, you know, dragging your eyes down this list. It's like normal, and then skyrocket. You know, the six spots, New York, the average rent, average ask, $4,400 in New York, which that's probably not much more than a studio or maybe a small one bedroom. But anyway, there's no, aside from the Midland-Odessa area, there were none of the Texas metros shown in the top 10. Syracuse, New York, Buffalo, New York, Madison, Wisconsin, Worcester, Springfield, Massachusetts. Again, Northeast for the most part. And I guess, you know, when you're looking at why do I point these articles out? Well, several reasons. I mean, one, if you happen to be looking at a syndicated offering in these markets, it's good to kind of check the numbers of the pro formas you're being given. And even if you're not looking in these areas, it's good to see what other areas around the country are doing. And, you know, I know I track most of the Texas markets month to month on things like rental rates and absorption. For those of you that are new to the lingo, absorption is the number of units that's getting taken out of inventory each month due to a new lease. It also measures units coming back into inventory, and absorption is collateral to occupancy, obviously, but it's probably the one of the biggest, if not the biggest, stats that developers are watching, because, you know, they're basing a lot of things, you know, when do we build the next property in a certain area, etc., on population trends, and then collateral to that is absorption, you know, how many units are being taken and at what price. I mean, obviously the rental rates are critical as well. Let's see here. Let's go on down. Where will the top rental rates, or top, I'm sorry, the top rental markets be this year? And this is a Globe Street article, and I read this a couple of days ago, but I can't remember now what was noteworthy. Let's look here. This is a report put out by Rent Cafe, which I'm trying to think if they're just a data site or if they're actually a software. I can't remember where Rent Cafe fits into the picture, but in any event, one of the top cities, the top city, I guess, is Atlanta, based on rental activity on the Rent Cafe site for the last 12 months, and Atlanta's expected to maintain its momentum in 2024. In Rent Cafe's annual top 30 list, Kansas City comes in second, followed by Cincinnati. So, for the most part, some good Midwest locations. The fourth on the list is Arlington, followed by Orlando, and then the rest of the top 10 was Minneapolis, Denver, Portland, Albuquerque, and Overland Park. And you know, these are some of the top 10 metros on this particular list. And again, this is the rental activity. This does not necessarily mean at rates that are higher or lower, as the case may be. They may talk about that further down. Let's see. I don't really see much discussion on the average rate. There is a reference to Fort Lauderdale as being noteworthy because listings, at least listings on this specific site for units in Fort Lauderdale decreased by 38% due to high rental interest. So I'm assuming that means units got taken, got absorbed, but they kind of worded that a little bit awkward. In the Northeast, renters favored living in major urban areas offering amenities of a city and diverse opportunities. Queens came in as the top rental destination of 2023 in the Northeast, followed by Buffalo and the Bronx. The cities of Philadelphia and Boston also made the top 30 cut. That's interesting that Philadelphia, with all of their problems, safety-wise, et cetera, was able to stay in that top echelon. Finally, in the western area, Denver, Portland, and Albuquerque all made the list. In addition, renters favored Chandler three times as often as the previous year. I'm not sure where Chandler is right off the bat, but it made Chandler a top rental destination. Again, these sites that we stay in touch with are really good sources to figure out what's going on in the multifamily market. You know, obviously there's differences across the different metros, but it gives you a flavor for you know, what the absorption, the occupancy, the average rents, the asking prices. I mean, those are nice comparative data, even if you're looking at a deal in Houston. I mean, it's or Dallas or Phoenix or Seattle. Maybe Seattle would be a little bit a lot different market, but bottom line is that there's more connective tissue than you might think. Let's see what else what's the next article we should look at. Class B apartments outperforming all categories. And, you know, this is like the second article in 3 or 4 months that I've seen reference the Class B apartment space. And rental growth rose by 1.4% in three-star properties. That would typically be a reference to the Class B, outperforming 4 and 5 star properties as well as 1 and 2 star, according to apartments.com. The Q4 2023 multifamily rental report. Apartments.com is a website that promotes your multifamily properties. I used to use that group for our properties in San Antonio, very familiar with them, and they are the big enchilada, I guess you might say, in that business. The report defines 3-star as B properties, typically in garden style, which would mean it's, you know, 20 years old, I guess, in most cases. The Class B would be 20 to 25 years old, I would say. The demand for 3-star properties was due in large part to improved consumer confidence, lower inflation, and lack of a recession, according to the report. And, you know, that would track well with workforce housing type product, which I would suggest that's clearly what most Class B it's the category they would fall into. Demand for 1 and 2 star properties remained the weakest as consumer budgets, or consumers, apostrophe, budgets continued to fight higher cost for housing and everyday items, pushing some to seek alternative housing solutions such as moving in with roommates or returning to family homes, according to this report. Let's see, comparatively, let's see, rent data shows that the B quality apartments outperform their luxury A and B, or A and A plus counterparts by 15 basis points, and minus 15 basis points and minus 25 basis points over the past year, respectively. That gap has shrunk by minus 70 basis points from the peak that was reached in third quarter 23, says the analyst that provided this info. In select markets across the country, we're seeing the resumption of rent growth as consumer confidence improves and fears of recession begin to dissipate. Well, that's one man's opinion. Don't forget, I mentioned earlier, Jamie Dimon is not so sure, and that guy is pretty shrewd when it comes to projecting the future. Another comment here is recovery may take a little longer in certain markets. That would be the Sun Belt submarkets. And the suggestion being, you know, once the elevated supply gets absorbed, they'll see higher occupancy towards the end of 2024. I don't know about that. End of 2024 will be here before we know it. And I'll be surprised if there's that quick of a recovery and absorption. Some locales, sure, because they've got the population growth to get there. But I would say now that we've been through a slow spurt, rerun some of the projections that you're looking at on some of the syndication offerings you may be trying to decide between. Run some sensitivity analysis on those rental growth rates or on the occupancy, and look how large or small, depending on the nature, the conservative nature or the non-conservative nature of the preparer that prepared those projections, and see what happens if your occupancy drops down below 90%. It seems like most of the projections I look at, very few syndicators acknowledge there's anything less than a 90% occupancy pond they swim in, and I don't buy that. I don't buy that a bit. Let's go ahead. We're right on top of our second break. Let's go ahead and take that, and I'll return momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
And you are a teacher. You are a reacher, so reach down. Reach out and lead me. Guide me and keep me in the shelter of your care each day.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna warm it up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make the
okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and we were discussing assorted news articles affecting primarily the multifamily space. Let's take a look at, let's see, I've got an article here about, just quick, this won't take long. The office vacancy rate breaks an all-time record. That's, that's noteworthy. And, obviously, there's quite a few years that this statistics, you know, the vacancy rate on offices has been tracked, but in any event, the first sentence of this article kind of says it all. Office buildings across the U.S. have more empty space than ever before, breaking records set during the real estate crashes of the 1980s and the 90s. And roughly 6% of the office in major metropolitan areas was vacant at the end of the year. 19.6%, almost 20%. And that's a big chunk of real estate. And that, you know, is why you've seen so many office buildings go back to lenders. And then you've also seen cash calls on those projects. Well, as you have with other commercial real estate assets, you've seen that in the multifamily space as well. Let's see. There was an article. This article is worth taking some time to read. I'm not going to do it here on the air, but Peter Lindman, he's a Wharton Business School economist of some distinction. Let's see, was this a speech or an article? I believe it was it was on a webcast. He was a former professor at Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania. And in any event, I'm just going to hit the headline. Lower interest rates and an industrial boom. Peter Lindman's prediction for the U.S. economy. And I will take a look at that article in detail and try to be prepared to discuss it on Sunday, because, you know, he's someone that people listen to, and it would be interesting to get his take on particularly where the economy is headed, because that's going to drive so much of the commercial real estate arena. Let's see. Growth soothes the pain of distress in Dallas-Fort Worth's multifamily market. Well, from a tenant perspective, is what that article is referring to, and it's because, again, there's been so much new building in the DFW area as well, and so the overall occupancy rate was 97%. If you go back to the first quarter of 2022, that doesn't help renters too much, right? And so now the script has flipped since then. A building frenzy is set to deliver tens of thousands of units in 2024 and 2025. And, they're arriving amid a decline in occupancy. So, I think it's safe to assume that the rents will have to go down. Said landlords no longer have the upper hand as rent growth sputters and starts to backslide. After a steady climb, average rent prices were down from $1,507 in November 22 to $1,499 in November of 2023, and that doesn't sound like much, but I'm going to presume it's going to go down even more here in 2024. It'll be interesting to see what November of 2024 looks like year on year, but landlords are starting to offer discounts to fight for those new leases. And that's not just in DFW. That's a lot of places. I think Houston's been doing that for a while. Interest rates soared, essentially drying up the well of new apartment starts. And distress in the once mighty Texas multifamily market has been well documented. There's been more than a few well-known syndicators that, again, have had to go back to the well for more money, or they've, you know, had to let the properties go back to the lender. And, you know, the value-add developer is the one that's been hit the hardest. The folks that purchased older apartment complexes that were record prices a year or two ago, and they were intending to update them, and with the renovated properties and the, you know, upgraded amenity sets, you know, move the rental rates up, and that, you know, the timing couldn't have been worse on the variable rate mortgages starting to increase, and some of these developers weren't able to finish the rehabs. And some of those rehabs, by the way, they've got personal guarantees behind them. It's, you know, even on a deal with qualified non-recourse debt, the developer may have been asked to sign a personal guarantee on the CapEx work that was going to take place. We've seen some of that. And so you can't just assume handing it back is an option that, you know, the syndicator is able to avoid culpability. But in any event, let's see. I've got about 5 minutes left. I wanted to mention I mentioned earlier on that, you know, with the tax train coming, how that there's a really nice intersection between real estate private partnership syndications and retirement funds. And the favorite vehicle we utilize is a self-directed 401 trust. And I'm not going to go into much detail at this point due to lack of time. We'll do that maybe on Sunday's show, but it's been a while since we've done it. But suffice it to say that if you live in the great state of Texas and you're married, it doesn't matter what age you are, doesn't matter if you don't want to quit your employment yet, you can access your retirement funds in a 401 plan, 401k plan, and we can get those rolled into a vehicle that you can control. You become the trustee. You can decide when, with whom, and how much you want to invest. And the multifamily market is dicey at the moment, but let me tell you, for every deal that goes under, there's opportunities abounding, okay? And we're seeing a lot of it start now. There's going to be more. I don't think we've even begun to see the distress, and with distress comes opportunity, whether it's a distressed property or a distressed situation. That's what we look for when we're buying real estate properties. So, you know, that intersection that I'm referring to of the real estate private partnerships with retirement money is especially advantageous when it involves the desire to move your money from pre-tax over to Roth. As I was mentioning earlier in the show, when we were talking about, well, how do we avoid that tax train that's well on its way? And it's by investing, you know, step one, roll your money over to the self-directed 401 trust. And then step two is to invest it in real estate private companies or private partnerships, which allows us to do a Roth conversion at a lower tax cost due to the fact that when you value the assets for purposes of executing the Roth conversion, you'll pay less tax than if you did it when your investments were still and the market and trade it on a New York NYSE or NASDAQ. And so it's a significant advantage that we suggest you consider if you're deciding to move to the real estate private partnership asset space. And that's a whole other show as to some of the reasons that you might consider that. And it's one of the lowest hanging fruit is the way I would describe it in terms of retirement wealth, how you might invest your money to get significant returns. And that's one of the things, that article, the first article that I've got pinned on the Be a Planner resources news page is in fact about, it's a Fed, the San Francisco office of the Fed Reserve did a study, and it's been, I think it was 2017, but it looked back over the last, 100 years or more, and looked at three classes of assets, you know, stocks, bonds, and housing. And housing was in large measure the best performing over that time frame. And I guess the reason I mention that, the reason I do want to spend some time on it on a future show, is because, you know, you've got to keep your money working. And, you know, it doesn't help you if you're behind to achieve normal returns. You've got to leapfrog over some of the normal returns. And real estate continues to be the asset class that creates more wealth than any other. And if you're older, like I am, you know, my 60s now, I don't want to get out of bed every morning to go run those Class C apartments that we're trying to execute a value add strategy on. We're buying them beat up, in need of updates, and that will allow us to raise the rents theoretically. And we will return to that scenario, and that scenario is still playing out in certain markets, certain locations, certain submarkets, etc. But it's paused in large measure. But, you know, if you do your due diligence to where you can stay in business, you know, you don't use, you know, faulty underwriting data, then you'll live to fight another day. And there's no doubt that I've watched this space for 20 plus years. We've been through several major ups and downs, and I don't know of any other asset space that you can assume is going to make money at some point. So I would encourage you, go to some of the free resources that are out there, the case study nights, etc., that some of the organizations do. And then talk to us. I can inform you as to who some other syndicators are across the country, and you can investigate those opportunities. Okay, well, the end of the show is nigh. I hear the music. So I'm going to sign off. I appreciate you listening in today, and we'll be back on Sunday right here on AM 700 KSEV. The Voice of Texas. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.